friends. For anyone who's visiting, this term we've been focusing in on a section of the book of Acts and kind of really enjoying the way that God's word is alive and active and how it is to encourage and inspire us to be the church. And the kind of the big picture of Acts is people who follow Jesus partnering with his spirit, living out their life in community and seeing what God can do. And so just really looking forward to seeing what God has for us today. We did hand out some fridge magnets with the order of the bits of the Acts that we were going to be doing. But we have been really fortunate to have a couple of guest speakers. So just to let you know, this week I'll be doing the first front part of Acts 10. Next week, Joe will be speaking on the second part of Acts 10. So we'll clone her and half of her will go to the youth and half will stay in here somehow. The following week, we have a guest speaker, Nick, who will be coming to share with us. 3rd of December, Michelle will be making her preaching debut, doing the front half of Acts 11. We have another guest on the 10th of December, Abby from Queensland. Zach will be wrapping up the series with his best ever sermon. Guaranteed it will be one of his very best. Okay, so no pressure, but money back guarantee. Okay, come and see me. And then 24 Christmas, far out. How quickly is it coming around? So, now that you're in the mood for listening to God's word, reflecting on what he wants to say through his word for yourself, we really want this to be a season where we do engage with God's word and appreciate the gift that it is to each of us and the revelation that God wants to give each of us individually and also what he wants to give us corporately to share. So I'm going to get a guest speaker to read through Acts 10, 1 to 16. It's only a couple of minutes long. I've invited Johnny Cash to read for us this morning. So Johnny's going to read through Acts 10, 1 to 16. And as he reads it, I just really want you to pay attention to what stands out. What is God saying to you? Or what questions come to mind? What questions come to mind? What stands out? So I'll get Johnny to read it, and then we'll just have it up on the screen so you can read it through a second time yourself. And then, so it's really helpful if you've got someone that you can just chat with. So if you can just glance sideways, if you haven't already partnered up with someone, it'll be really more enjoyable service if you can just share a few thoughts along the ways. So do that, and we'll welcome Johnny.
Chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again.
So I'll just give you a minute to read through the passage again. Again, just pay attention to what immediately jumps out or what questions immediately come to mind. So just as I get myself set up, if you could just turn to someone, just share the thoughts that came to mind or the questions that came to mind. I sense conversations drifting off to other matters. So just curious to know if I could just get a little bit of feedback. What were some of the key themes, thoughts, what stood out, what questions came to mind? Please be generous with your quick responses. Prayers and givings aren't lost on God. Thank you. Yeah. Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus kind of restored Peter. Three times he got the vision. What are the thoughts, questions? Peter was a bit thick. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a clash between old covenant thinking and new covenant thinking. Yep. Any other questions, comments came to mind? Right, so he accepted it even though everything in his body would have been going, hang on, that's totally against what I've always known. Yeah, but it was clearly from God. Yeah. Was it a pizza dream? What? Adrian. Kill and eat, so the meaties in the room say amen. Yeah, something dramatically has changed. Lots of different things. Three things that I really feel God wanting to share with us. And as always, you know, this is a challenge and an invitation for me as much as anybody else. So just been really enjoying the wrestle of this, and I hope that you will too, because it seems like everything that Jesus did for people who chose to follow him is that he invites them, and if they say yes to the invitation, then he challenges them. So there's kind of three invitation and challenges, and that is to hear, to see, and to act. How do we hear, how do we see, and how do we act? So I just want to start off with how do we see? Okay, so we live in a world that has all kinds of communication devices. I think of, you know, even when I was a kid, to what we have available now. Virtual reality headsets, we have emails, we have the interweb, we have videos on demand, we have streaming TVs, we have navigational information at our fingertips. Like, we are just bombarded with opportunities for communication, yeah? And what I love about this passage is the invitation from God for all of us to consider, how do we communicate with God, or how does God have access to communicate to us? Because we see in the start and the end of this passage, firstly, that God speaks to a non-Jew, Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, who was obviously a lover of God and an active follower of God, but he wasn't Jewish. God spoke to him. And how did he speak to him? He gave him the vision of an angel. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? And so this angel gives him some very... This is really doing my eyes trying to look at you through this thing. I tell you, I've got to close my eyes. And I can see your souls. It's amazing. I can see right through you. Graham Rayner, I'll have a word to you afterwards. So Cornelius had a vision of an angel who speaks to him and gives him very clear, and spoke to him in his language. He was a soldier, and this angel gave him clear orders of what to do. And then Peter, as was pointed out, he had a vision of these animals in a sheet, which is a bit bizarre. And so he's got this mini YouTube clip on repeat where these animals come down. God says, get up and eat, but it's unclean, yada, yada, yada. So he gets this vision in like a trance for God to get his attention. It did it three times, which, as we pointed out, is really significant. Whoa, that was a little bit painful. And the invitation and challenge is, how open are you for God to speak to you in new ways, in different ways, and in more frequent ways? I know for me, it's just such a gift that knowing that not just God can speak to us, but God wants to speak to us, and he wants to speak to us frequently. And in this period of transition, a common question I get is, aren't you worried what you're going to do next? What's going to happen to you? And, you know, honestly, for Laura and I, we are just curious. We are not stressed at all. And that's because God has so clearly spoken to us in every season of our life as to what he wants us to do. I was driving up to the men's weekend in August and had the company of Sean. And I think I was talking to him for about an hour and a half, just one after another story of how God has shown himself in my life and directed my paths, because he was asking me the same question. Just to give you a couple of examples, and again, I'm not drawing attention to myself, I'm just saying that God is really kind in the way that he wants to communicate and can communicate. So one time, I was probably about a follower of Jesus for about a year or so, and miraculously got a job with the government in the CES. And they transferred me to this office on the other side of Adelaide, up in Norwood, which is the posh end of town. And I'd been there, and it was kind of like, it was really boring. And the only people who come in were university graduates, and everyone's driving around in high-end vehicles. And I'm just going, God, what am I? I'm catching two buses to get there every day. And just had this real frustration. I thought, oh, well, there must be some point to it, but what? Why? What's going on? And I was going to a Bible college at the time, and one of the students invited me to go along with her to visit a church on the other side of town. And this guy's up preaching. In the middle of the preaching, he goes, and I've got a message for that guy in the blue shirt. And I'm sitting there waiting for him to talk. He goes, could you stand up? I'm waiting there, and I'm kind of looking behind. It's like, there's no one with a blue shirt. And like, oh, that's me. So I get up and he said, I just see this picture of you and it's like you've been rowing around and around on a lake in a boat and now you've just come to land and where you've landed, there's this clear path marked out for you to travel. I thought, that's nice. And so I go to work the very next day, Monday, and my manager comes up and goes, just want to know if you'd be willing to be transferred to one of the areas of where there's high needs for long-term young people. And so it was just this beautiful kind of forewarning that God was lining me up to start ministry and working with long-term unemployed young people, which was really satisfying. Another time, I'd been, after finishing with the CES, God called me to work for a church in Perth where we set up an employment service, and God really breathed on that service, and we placed thousands of people into work, thousands of unemployed people into work. And the church in action was just such a beautiful expression through First Choice Employment. And then for some reason, I had this discontent and just thought, I don't know. I love helping people get into work, but they're all really short connections I have with people. You know, it's just talking through one particular job, helping them get that job, see you later, not an ongoing relationship. And I just miss the days when I was working in the government and worked with people for months on end and really getting to know them and help them significantly. And God said, well, why don't you? And it's like this voice going, why don't you? I'm there, well, things are going so well. Why would I finish up? And he goes, well, if you were going to work for somebody doing that, who would you choose to work for? And at that time, I'd been reading William and Catherine Booth's biography about the Salvation Army and how they impacted the poor and disadvantaged in England and their mission for, you know, a heart to God, a hand to man. And I thought, oh, the Salvos, they've got a really big employment contract. Maybe I could work for them. And I knew some people who worked in the Salvos. And God said, I just felt God say, why don't you? I'm there. How do I? If I tell my boss, he's going to. Anyway. And so I just like thought, maybe I'm having a pizza dream. Next morning I wake up, my heart's still pounding. I'm going, far out, what am I going to do with this? Fortunately, that night, a couple from the church who were elders came over for dinner. He was also the accountant for our employment service. And I said, Lance, I've got this situation. I had this experience last night. I don't know what to do with it. And he gave me some really good advice, which I just think I've used for a lot of other people. And he said, you know what you need to do? And they're, what's that? And he goes, nothing. Don't do anything. He said, if this is of God, he'll confirm it for you. I was like, good advice. And it's sound advice in a lot of other occasions I've found as well. So that was a Friday night. During that week, I'd subscribed for a free offer of 4 free West Australian Saturday morning papers. Get to do the news, the crosswords, the puzzles, magazines. Got my first ever copy of the West Australian, got it out, and then I had the employment section in my hand, and almost jokingly said, okay, God, if you want me to work for the Salvo, show me the job. Not to make this a good story, truth, I opened it up. First job I saw, senior employment consultant, Salvation Army Employment Plus Morley, and just went, what? Anyway, long story short, but yeah, God kind of led me to go and work for the Salvos. He gave me 6 months to transition out, and so it didn't impact on what was happening at First Choice. But just God is so kind in the way that he wants to speak to us. And he'll do it in all kinds of ways, and his timing is just brilliant. He has an uncanny knack of timing. People know that? And, you know, Jesus really encourages us, invites us in Matthew 7, where he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, it will be open. God is busting to speak to us, to give us answers that we need. Are you open to hearing from God more frequently and in new ways? Just to test the water there, I just want to invite Sarah back up, and she's going to do a short activity with us around this. Thanks, Sarah.
So Brad's just invited me up to help facilitate a way of hearing from God using our imaginations. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend just a brief couple of minutes asking God for a picture in our minds, and then using that to help us experience who he is and his character. I just wanted to share with you a couple of tips that I have that have helped me personally engage with this type of thing. The first is to just trust the first thing that pops into your head. When we are encountering the Lord through our imaginations, one of the most tempting things to do is to overthink it. But I encourage you today just to go with the first thing that pops into your head. The second tip I have is that if you have a pen and paper, or you have a notes app on your phone, I encourage you to get it out. Because as we're encountering through our imaginations, writing down what we see and hear can be a really good way to stop you getting distracted. And the third thing is just to remember that you're really good at this, and that God is going to speak to all of us. This is not just for certain people. It's not just for creative people or spiritual people. God is going to encounter all of us, and he thinks that you're really good at this. So can I just get some instrumental music going, please, Sean? And I'm just going to sit down so it's a bit more relaxed. As we begin, Lord, we just thank you that you are always speaking to us. We thank you that you are creative in the way that you speak to us, and that you will do anything to communicate your heart with us. We just ask that you sanctify our imaginations and that you help us to see you and hear you clearly right now. Amen. So the first thing I ask you to do is just close your eyes. And I just want you to imagine a place in our community. Might be a place that you go often, like Woolies. Might be a place that you only go occasionally. Just think of the first thing that pops into your mind. Now you've got that place in your head, I want you to ask the question, where is Jesus in that place? Now that Jesus is in that place, ask Jesus, what are you doing? What good thing are you working here? Very last thing we're going to do is ask Jesus, can I join you? What does he say? What does he invite you to do in that moment? And when you're ready, open your eyes. And if you're comfortable, share with the person next to you, what was your place? What was Jesus doing and how could you join him?
If you can just hang on to those thoughts, I might get you to recall them again. I'll tell you, things that God gives you to do can really mess up your hair. The next thing I wanted to look at was just the invitation and the challenge in the way that we see, in the way that we see who belongs in God's kingdom, who belongs in God's family. And this was the challenge for Peter, as Benny pointed out, that God gave him this powerful, shocking vision about these animals and what he could eat. And the backstory for that, for those who may not be familiar, in the Old Testament, Peter would have been really familiar with the first five books of the Bible, and one of those is Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, it kind of lists and details all the animals that for the Jewish people they could eat and couldn't eat. You just bring that verse up. So I won't read through this, but as you can see, it was really clear and specific what they could eat, what they couldn't eat. But of course, this vision wasn't so much about the eating, although it was as well. So that would have been shockingly and brilliantly freeing for people who liked some of these things that they weren't previously able to eat. But it was more about an image of who God sees as clean and unclean, who God sees as acceptable and unacceptable. And this is why he had to repeat this vision three times, because it's too shocking to think, hang on, we've got a monopoly on this relationship with God, with this family of God. Us Jews who were born in, it's Abe's family tree, and if you're not in it, then you're not in it. Whereas God's blown that away. It's the new covenant. And so the question is, how open are we to see who belongs in God's kingdom? Who belongs in God's global family? And we obviously don't mind Gentiles being included in, because, you know, that's most of us. I don't know if there's any Jews here today, but it's good news that we are available to get into God's kingdom. And Romans 10 states this really clearly. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, this is the invitation for anyone here, and if you haven't done this, do it. Your life will never be the same again. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. It's an inward decision. It's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Now, if you're like me, I was kind of going, yeah, like, I don't think there's anyone who doesn't belong, you know, that's outside of the saving grace of Jesus. And I'm going to put up a list of people, the categories I've just kind of grabbed at. And just as I put up this list of groups of people, I'm just thinking, well, you know, everyone's accessible to God. But if you're honest, would any of these types of people shock or surprise you if they turned up and wanted to be part of our church? Again, this isn't a personal reflection of who I don't think belongs in the kingdom, but maybe some of them I'd be going, really? Do they really belong here? Are they really going to be Jesus followers? Can I take this off? Thanks. But probably even more so challenging than, do they belong? Are they welcome into the family of God? Is, am I willing to pray for people like this to become part of God's family? Am I willing to serve people like this? Am I willing to go out of my way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness to these kinds of people? So I just want to pause. Again, just we'll be wrapping this up in a minute. The last section won't take very long, but I just want to just pause and just allow God just to speak to your heart as to, do you have blinkers as to who you're going to consider worthy or eligible for God's family, or likely, or someone that you're going to bother pursuing in prayer or in service or in conversation? So, Father, just as we close our eyes, just soften our hearts, open our eyes to see where we're at. Who do we discount? Who are we skeptical about? Who are we resistant to? Who are we least likely to pursue or engage in order for them to become part of your family? I just pray for us as a church, the Lord, you'll just take off our blinkers, that you'll give us a hope-filled anticipation that the least likely are the most likely, and that you'll give us courageous obedience to do what we need to do to help them to enjoy being a family like we are. Amen. And this leads us right into that third invitation and challenge I feel God has for me and for us today, and that most importantly, it's one thing to think about how we might hear from God and how we might see other people, but what are we going to do about it? God invites and he challenges us to act, to be the people that help people know him and to experience his love for them. And this can be different for each one of us. We have different opportunities. We have different circles of influence and friendships and relationships. But God wants us to be Jesus. He wants us to do what Jesus would do if he was in our situations, if he was living our lives. And there's a couple of brilliant passages. Firstly, 1 Timothy 2. And probably the key thing I really sense God wanting me to be doing is praying. Because if you pray for something, you're going to have a heart for it. God will has the opportunity of developing a heart for it. So that first line in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for those people you like. No, I pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and in authority as well. We may have a prejudice against them, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is what's good and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there's one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that's Jesus. And he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And how can people come to know God? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? How beautiful are our feet when we carry good news. Amen. So I just want to finish by just again pausing. And just, yeah, if you can just close your eyes. One last time. I'm sorry. The sermon series is called Acts. So, you know, we don't want people being passively listening, but we don't want this to be a burden or a frustration, but we do want it to be something that's life-giving. So I just pray that God will just speak to you about what's he inviting and challenging you to do in terms of how you see people, how you see the people around you, and how you can see them through his eyes and do something to connect them with the Father who made them, who loves them, who has a plan and a purpose and an eternity waiting for them, and we get to partner with his Spirit to make a difference in their lives. So, Father, just pray. Just speak to us now, these next 30 seconds. Just drop into our mind again. What is it that you're inviting and challenging us to do to extend your family, to extend your kingdom through our lives? But just share. If nothing came to mind, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It's a hot Sunday morning. It's, you know, sometimes thoughts don't just drop quickly, and maybe God will percolate and say something more clearly later today or during the week. But yeah, I just invite you, just in the next minute or two, either the thing that came to mind when Sarah kind of led you through that picture of seeing Jesus in the community, or whatever it was that God invited or challenges you to do. Is that okay? I'll just give you just 2 minutes and then we'll wrap up the service. Thanks for listening, and I just pray God's blessing on you that you do get to partner with his Spirit and change the life of the world and the people around us, even with small acts of obedience, maybe just simply praying for people. Amen? Thanks.